Jim Kelly joins us on Sports Byline USA. 13 years in pro football, 11 of those in the National Football League with the Buffalo Bills, where he went to four straight Super Bowls. And, of course, he is the Bills' career passing leader with 35,467 yards, and he had his Buffalo Bills number 12 retired. But he also has a wonderful new book called The Playbook for Dads. What was the motivation for doing this book, Jim?
Well, do you have about 2 days? It was a collection of over 25 years being around kids and doing a football camp and being able to see how times have changed and how kids really nowadays are not motivated like they were before. You know, I was brought up in a family of six boys, and I knew all the things that my father told his six sons, from the easy things that you learn as a kid, like the firm handshake and looking a man in the eye and the please and thank yous and the hard work and the discipline and the work ethic, and having a camp for that many years and really seeing, you know, where it was going, and knowing that if my son was here, who passed away at the age of 8 years old, if he was here, what I would teach him. And I've learned so many things through him, even though he never spoke a word, but I know that there's so many things that I would have taught him. And you know, when you look at the whole thing and you look at the way kids are, sometimes you feel like they take it for granted that things are just going to come their way. And probably one of the biggest things that I saw is when kids give up, they give up so easy. When things aren't going their way, they just, you know, turn a page or turn their cheek and do something else instead of, you know, putting their nose to the, you know, to it and going after it. And I just haven't seen that. And I try to stress that not only to my nephews, who I'm around a lot, but to my two daughters. I mean, my two daughters even give a firm handshake. And if they could do it, us kids could do it. And I know there's a lot of kids that, not only my football camp, but when I meet them, if they're 8, 9, 10, 12 years old, and they don't give you a firm handshake, I guarantee you when they walk away, they know I shook their hand because I'm going to make them feel it.
You know, you talk about Hunter, and right here in the beginning of the book, you say, "Dear Hunter, I'm so thankful for the time I had with you. In a way, this book is a collection of all the things I wish I had had a chance to teach you and all the places I wish I could have taken you with me, although sometimes I think you taught me more in your 8 years than I could have ever taught you, but here goes." Tell me a little bit about what it was about his short life that struck you the most, Jim.
Probably his toughness. Here was a kid, and as you know, never spoke a word. And through all the things he went through, from the toughness to being able to communicate through his blinking that we had him do after he started getting older, and just his resiliency and never giving up. And he probably had pneumonia 20 times. He probably was in the emergency room 15 or 20 times. And the kid just never, ever gave up. He fought. He fought so hard. And the life lesson he told us, you know, with my faith and knowing that mommy was there all the time for him, and just really looking, and I don't take anything for granted anymore, because you never know what's going to happen or what's around the corner, you know, giving that unconditional love. And it's a son that, you know, heck, he was born on my birthday, Valentine's Day, and I already had the game plan was already written. The script was done. He was going to wear number 12, and his nephew, who was 11 days older than him, was going to wear number 83, like Andre Reed, of course. And they were going to play, you know, quarterback, receiver, and then pitcher and catcher, and play in a basketball team, go to my football camp, all the things I had. But the good Lord picked me as a father of a very special little boy named Hunter, that he can change so many lives of so many kids, and he has done that.
The name of the book is called The Playbook for Dads. How much more difficult do you think it is raising a family today, and raising kids today, because of all the distractions that are out there, Jim? I mean, when I think back about when I was a kid, and I'm sure you do as well when you were a kid, I don't seem to remember all the challenges and distractions for kids.
Boy, you're exactly right. I mean, you look with not only Twitter, but you got Twitter, Facebook, you got Instagram, you have all the camera phones, you got everything that can get you in trouble. You have, you know, the Madden games, all the video games that they have nowadays, And I'm sure you probably think the same way. I know at least when I was playing, you had, you pick up game of basketball in some neighborhood, you play tackle man with a football, you play stickball. You did things outside. You did things to keep you out of trouble. You did things to entertain yourself, but you didn't need to go somewhere else, or you didn't always need your dad to hark on you, even though at a young age, I think kids need that. And one of the things in the book that I try to stress is for parents to understand it starts with them. I mean, start developing those good habits with your kids at a young age, because as we all know, bad habits are hard to break, and whether it's in sports or whether it's in life, teach them the right things at the beginning. Earn their respect. And when you say yes, it means yes. When you say no, it means no. And you got to stay firm. And that's one of the things I've learned from my father, because raising six boys wasn't easy. But I'll tell you what, nowadays it is a lot harder because of, like you said, all the distractions that are out there.
Let's talk a little football for just a second. You and I were chatting before you joined me here about your coach, Marv Levy, and we were both so amazed the fact that he was always able to stay contemporary, and he was always able to connect with his players, even though there was the discernible age difference. And you said to me that he was the reason why you guys got to the Super Bowl. What was it that he did from a communication standpoint that made everybody buy into it?
Well, I think the way he went about it, the way he talked, all the stories that he told, he loved Winston Churchill. He loved some of the guys that he could relate to and really understand where they were coming from. And he put it in words that we understood. I mean, there was times in meetings where he'd say some things and we'd like, what's he saying? And then all of a sudden he would continue and keep going. And then, okay, I understand what you mean now. But he treated the players with respect. He knew that we had, as I was telling you before, he knew we had a bunch of egos on our team, but he knew how to put us in check and make us understand that we're not going to achieve anything if we all have big heads and we're going to all want to do it on our own. You got to be able to do it together. The togetherness we had on that football team was probably unmatched. It will never be done again, even though, you know, the things we did, and we didn't win the Super Bowls, but the thing is, we never, ever gave up. The mental preparation going into each one of those years, knowing that we just came off a devastating loss at the end of the season, and being able to forget about that and learn from it and move on. He just had such a great knack for pulling us together.
One of the things that I knew about the late Bill Walsh, who was a good friend of mine, is that he instilled in his players a belief that he was the captain on the bridge of the ship. And what I mean by that, Jim, is that he made you believe that he was going to give you the best chance possible on game day to be able to compete and to be able to win. And that's a very unique quality. And I always had the same sense about Marv as well. Am I correct in that observation? And what was it that he did, especially after the disappointing losses year after year in the Super Bowl, that made you all believe?
You're exactly right. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. And that's what he was a very firm believer in. And he knew how to talk to us. And a good example for me personally, even before that big Super Bowl run, he gave me the total control of an offense. He said, Jim, this is your offense. You know where you want your players. You know how to do it. You know the plays. You know what you like. Go for it. That's when we started to know how to offense, be calling all the plays, and really started feeling very comfortable with that. And here's a guy that put his job security on the line, because, you know, if I screw it up, it's screwing him up too. His job is on the line as much as mine was. So he just had the right knack and the right terminology to use for each player. And anybody that ever came to talk to him, he had an open door policy all the time. It didn't matter who it was. If you had something to talk to him about, he would listen. And that was probably one of the best things that he was that good at, that was listening.
We only have 90 seconds left. But, Jim, when you think about all the young quarterbacks that are now starting as they come into the league immediately, and you think about what it took for you to be able to get to become that starting quarterback, how impressive is that?
It is very impressive, but it goes to show there's a lot of teams that need some quarterbacks and not very good at what they had right away. And seeing five rookies come in and start right away, I'm happy for them. They need some good quality kids out there. And it's good to see guys that are coming in like RG3 and Andrew Luck, guys with character, and Tannehill. So it's good to see good things happen to good people.
Yeah, do you miss the game? Was it hard for you to walk away from this game?
I think it's hard for anybody to walk away from the game, because you played it ever since you were a little boy. It was a dream come true. But, man, there were so many pressures on you, so many things you had to do, and the injuries and everything. It was hard to walk away when they're paying guys now $25 million a year. That was the hard part.
What is that one memory in about 30 seconds that is ingrained in your mind that you'll never forget about your career?
My career was when I made it into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and my son Hunter was able to be there with me that day. He will never be able to run out on a football field and hear 80,000 screaming fans like his daddy did, but he's going to do better things. He's going to change the lives of thousands and thousands of kids all over this country.
Jim, I want to thank you. I've always enjoyed our conversations. I want to urge people to check out this book. It's an excellent book. It's called The Playbook for Dads. Jim, thank you. You're welcome here anytime on Sports Byline. I look forward to our next conversation.
My pleasure. Thank you, and God bless. Take care.
Hall of Fame quarterback Jim Kelly, who played 13 years, but 11 with Buffalo, and I say 11 with Buffalo because the first 2 years were played in the United States Football League when he played with Houston. Now, he went to the University of Miami before coming into the National Football League. We'll take a break as we continue with more of you and America's Sports Talk Show.